Hello everyone and welcome to our Employment Law Year in Review Regional Roundtable Series, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm your host, Cato Arts, a partner with Lydian in Belgium. Each year we kick off our program with a special series of Year in Review programs, broken down by region and focusing on the most impactful regulations of the past year, as well as forecasting on important topics that will impact employers in the coming year. Today, joining us, we have ELA members representing the Benelux, so that is the Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Belgium. Joining us on the program are Alex Besters, lawyer at Boontje Advocaten and Mediators, and Philippe Schmidt, partner at Arendt in Luxembourg, and myself for Belgium. Hello, Alex and Philippe. Welcome to today's podcast. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, good to be here.
Hi, Cato. Hi, Alex. Great to be here.
Likewise. I'm very happy that we can do this and get an overview of the Benelux. So this podcast, we're going to talk about two things, as I mentioned. So first of all, let's take a look back at the past year, 2023, and the changes that impacted employers. Let me start with you, Alex. Have there been any leadership or government changes that have impacted the Netherlands in 2023, or are you anticipating any in 2024?
Yes, actually, we had elections at the end of last year. There's been a shift from a right-wing party being the biggest party in the Netherlands to an even more right-wing party being the biggest. And in terms of employment law, this also means that legislation that was in the making is put on hold for an uncertain amount of time until a new government is formed.
Okay, quite some changes. How about you, Philippe, in Luxembourg?
Well, it's like in the Netherlands. We also had elections in October 2023. We now have a new government, which is, I guess, a good thing for business, a good thing for employers and companies, since the new government would really like to boost business and the local economy and attract new companies to Luxembourg. So I guess for employment lawyers, that's very good news, and also for the economy of the country. So what about Belgium, Cato?
Well, it's a bit different in Belgium. So 2023 was a year full of new legislation. We've had many, many new initiatives that required the employer's attention. So there was, for instance, also some implementation still of rules that were adopted in 2022 that had to be done in 2023. So a very busy year for employment lawyers. My expectation is that 2024 will be calmer because that's when we'll have our elections. So probably a bit similar then to what has happened the past year in Luxembourg and the Netherlands. And we'll have elections together with the European elections. So really 2024 is all about elections in Belgium. So I guess that means that new initiatives, especially in relation to labor law, will drop significantly. But that's good because we've had so many changes that I think employers still need to recover a bit from all of those changes in 2024. So the most impactful changes, though, just looking at the Netherlands and Luxembourg, what were they for 2023? Can you give us a summary, maybe, Philippe?
Oh, yes. It was a crazy year for employers because we had quite a lot of changes in employment law. So before the switch of governments, we saw that the former government wanted to pass quite a lot of new pieces of legislation in Luxembourg. So it was a crazy year for employers with quite a lot of changes and also quite significant changes. So the first change was quite important change in business immigration. So the idea was to attract more employees from outside Europe to Luxembourg because we have a shortage in labor force. So the idea was to attract foreign talents to Luxembourg. But then we also saw new laws about additional leave entitlements. So there is also the idea of granting a better work-life balance to employees in Luxembourg. And this came also with a very important piece of legislation around the protection of whistleblowers. So employers being forced to put into place a lot of policies to protect whistleblowers and to make sure that they can blow the whistle without facing issues as to their employment. We have also seen a lot of new laws regarding the fight against moral harassment. So bullying was also at the center of attention of those new laws. And then finally, we have seen quite a lot of salary indexation increases. In Luxembourg, you have the system where salaries increase as inflation increases. So since we had quite an exceptional inflation rate over the last year, salaries had to be adapted likewise. So it didn't come cheap for employers. And on top of this, we also had a new law on the right to disconnect. So basically, the employers now need to put into place policies within companies to make sure that employees can disconnect, and the discussions and the definition of those policies with the right to disconnect need to be discussed within the company. So a lot of social dialogue also taking place within the companies right now.
Those are all topics that ring a bell: whistleblowing, right to disconnect, work-life balance. I guess that's something that's common for jurisdictions. Alex, is that the same in the Netherlands?
Yes, actually. Well, in my opinion, I think 2023 in the Netherlands was not really characterized for as many notable changes insofar the labor laws and regulations concerns. But of course, the necessary changes in that regard were definitely there. But yeah, there have been years where there have been more notable changes in the legislative field. But one of the changes is something Philip also just addressed regarding the Whistleblower Protection Act. And my colleague, Lucien Meijers, also recorded a podcast about this back in March 2023. So I would encourage all listeners to listen to that podcast on this subject. And furthermore, also changes regarding the entitlement to continued payment of wages for sick employees that have reached the state pension age. And the period for the continued payment of wages in this regard has become 6 weeks instead of 13 weeks. So after these 6 weeks have passed, the prohibition on dismissal due to illness no longer applies to these types of employees. And in addition, not really a change, but well, something noteworthy, I think, is that the so-called Work Where You Want Act, in Dutch, Wet Werken Waar Je Wil, was rejected by the Senate in September 2023. And this act aimed to make it easier for employees and employers to make arrangements for working from home. But yeah, the Senate felt that the act was sympathetic, but unnecessary, as employers and employees are already perfectly able to work things out together. And current practice has not really led to significant litigation or trouble. But to me, the most notable change, if you want to call it as such, comes from case law. And in the Netherlands, the qualification of whether a relationship between a company and another person qualifies as an employment relationship or as a relationship which certain services are provided as an independent contractor, for example, has long been a topic of discussion. There's even legislation in the making that aims to clarify when a relationship can be seen as an employment relationship, but it's still in the making. But the case law that I was referring to concerns the so-called Deliveroo ruling by the Dutch Supreme Court. And in that ruling, the Supreme Court defined several aspects or points of view that must be considered when assessing the nature of a relationship between certain parties. And I will not go into too much detail, but I think it's safe to say that this ruling paved the way and gave some further and necessary insights and clarifications as to what must be considered in the assessment of that relationship.
I just want to start by saying I love how the Dutch always, you know, are very clear with what they want to say. So the Dutch act on work where you want. I mean, that's clear.
Yes.
Who needs lawyers to explain to clients what that means? So that's exactly. That's fantastic. A lot of what you mentioned, Alex, is actually also true for Belgium. So whistleblowing, I mean, this almost feels like a tick of the box exercise. But again, that was also in Belgium a topic. So the directive had to be transposed and employers had until the 17th of December to make sure that they have their whistleblowing channels up and running. So that was definitely something noteworthy. What we also had, and I heard you mention that as well, Alex, is rules on incapacity for work during, in our particular case, annual leave. So the rules in Belgium and the Netherlands are quite different when it comes to incapacity for work and how long there's guaranteed pay. In Belgium, that is 30 days. But we've had some discussion on what happens when you fall ill during your vacation. So we had some changes in law there where basically employees can then carry over their vacation days if indeed they do fall sick during their annual leave. There are also some rules regarding the notification that needs to be done to employers when an employee calls in sick. Some things that were very specific for Belgium, and I think noteworthy here, is, for instance, the broader scope of our anti-discrimination legislation. So we basically broadened the scope of this legislation, saying that there is also a possibility of multiple discrimination. So basically, you can get compensated twice if you are being discriminated against for two protected criterion. So that's explicitly now in the law. There is also a possibility to get compensation in case of associative discrimination, which basically means that you yourself are not being discriminated against because of a protected criterion, but you are being discriminated against because of a protected criterion in your family. For instance, taking care of a handicapped kid, that could be associative discrimination, and in that case, a compensation should be awarded. And then there are some cases where there is a presumption of discrimination. So that is very important for employers as well. We also have now the obligation in Belgium to appoint a person of trust. That is basically someone who, on a very informal basis, helps employees who have complaints regarding harassment at work, bullying at work, so unaccepted or unacceptable and unwanted behavior. That used to be an option. Now it's mandatory for companies employing over 50 employees. And then lastly, maybe something very specific. We have the system in Belgium, which is called FlexiJobs. FlexiJobs are basically a form of employment where an employee who has already a main job elsewhere takes on an additional job in certain sectors. And that was really intended to, first of all, reduce costs for those sectors. It was, for instance, in the event sector, very important. And there's a reduced social security payment to be made. And this scope was also broadened. But that's actually a change that was in effect since the 1st of January, 2024. So I'm actually already anticipating for the year to come. So that brings us to the second part. What are our predictions for 2024? Let's pull up our crystal ball. Philippe, what should employers be paying attention to in the coming year in Luxembourg?
Well, Kato, as I mentioned before, 2023 was a very exciting year for employers. There was a lot of news. So it was tough for employers to keep the pace, but of course, very exciting also for employment lawyers because a lot of news. And I anticipate that 2024 will be slightly calmer for employers. So less new pieces of legislation, most likely. But we are facing now what we call the social elections. So in March 2024, all across the country, all companies having more than 15 employees need to elect a new staff delegation. So we currently see that the unions try to show their muscles and to position themselves for the elections. And unions are not making employers' lives easier as we speak. And I guess it will be the case until the elections are done. But let's also see what the new government will do. There is, of course, an increased appetite to attract talents. I guess Luxembourg is very aware of the fact that we need workforce. We need to be attractive for talents. We don't have the sea. We don't have the mountains. So we need to have something else to attract talents in Luxembourg, right? So I guess increased flexibility will be one of the elements which will be tackled by the government. They will try to introduce more flexibility in the employment relationship, both for employers and employees. I guess that diversity and inclusion will also be one of the main topics. You mentioned before anti-discrimination measures. And I guess that Luxembourg will also follow that route and that we will face a lot of new regulations in this field. Then we had the new laws against bullying and the protection of whistleblowers, which came into effect last year. So I expect that the first case law decisions in this field will also be rendered in the course of the year. So I guess that we need to monitor case law quite closely. And then we have an additional challenge in Luxembourg, which is related to the size of the country. Since it is a very small country, we have a lot of commuters working in Luxembourg, which brings its challenges in terms of distance working. So there are a lot of discussions going on with the neighboring countries to see how the taxation of commuters can be handled in the best possible way to allow commuters to work an increased period of time from home. So I guess that discussions will also go on between the Luxembourg government and neighboring countries to see how those tax thresholds can be adapted to avoid that commuting employees are impacted from a tax perspective.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you, Philippe. I think just adding for Belgium, one point that you mentioned, we also have social elections coming up. So as I mentioned at the start of our conversation, we probably will have a bit of a decrease in legislative initiatives because of the elections. But very important is that indeed social elections are taking place too. So employee representatives are being elected for the Works Council and the Health and Safety Committee. And what is very peculiar or particular for Belgium to mention is that we have a so-called occult period, which is a period of approximately 2 months where employers do not know yet which employees are a candidate for these social elections and so also don't know who will be protected against dismissal. So that's a very crazy concept to explain to clients, especially those who are not used to employing personnel in Belgium. But during these 2 months, which is basically ongoing, so since January up until mid-March, more or less, it is really recommended to not proceed with dismissal because most often employees who have a fear of being dismissed or have a hint somewhere that something's going on might be a candidate for the social elections to get that protected status. So a very important thing for Belgium to mention. So let's go to the Netherlands, Alex. How are things there and what are your predictions for 2024?
So for 2024, legislation is expected. but when exactly it is unknown because the government is still forming. For example, the legislator has announced its intention to reform non-competition agreements between employers and employees. And these reformations include a limitation of the duration of such agreements to a maximum of 1 year, mandatory geographical restrictions, written justification in all types of employment contracts, and the obligation to pay the employee a compensation should he be held to a non-compete after the employment has ended. And in view of the future, we are already advising employers to add a proper motivation as to why they want to have a non-compete in place with their employees in all types of contracts. So also in permanent contracts and not only in contracts for a definite amount of time. Yeah. And in addition, there's also the so-called Act for Improvement of Job Security for Flexible Workers. In Dutch, de Wet Verbetering Zekerheid Flexibele Arbeidskrachten. And this proposal includes the abolishment of 0 hours contract for on-call workers. And it is the intention to only have basic, permanent, and temporary contracts with a minimum of number of hours for which workers will be scheduled and paid. And also changes in the provision on succession of fixed-term employment contracts are being expected as of now. After 3 years or after 3 consecutive temporary contracts with the same employer, an employee has the right to a permanent contract. And this so-called chain, quote-unquote, remains unbroken if the employee is reemployed with an interval of no more than 6 months, but the new legislation aims to have an interval of 5 consecutive years. So that's a significant change. And also, as of July 1st, 2024, employers with 100 or more employees must also track their employees' CO2 emissions and report them to the government by June 30 of each year. And this includes CO2 emissions from all business travel and commuting, air travel and travel by vessel, such as a ferry, are not covered by the reporting requirement. And employees in this context are those with employment contracts of 20 hours or more per month. And this also includes employees who live abroad but work at the company's Dutch branch. And temporary workers are not covered by the reporting obligation. So a lot to be expected. But when exactly is still unknown.
Very interesting. The last part in particular, I think the Netherlands is currently the only country that I've heard of doing this. So that's very interesting. So let's close off with some takeaways. That's always good for our listeners. What can or should employers be doing right now to stay in compliance or to prepare for an anticipated new regulation? Is there anything that they can start doing already? Alex, maybe let's start with you.
Yeah, as I just said, we are already advising employers to add a proper motivation as to why they want a non-compete in place with their employees. And I think that's a good thing. Even if this legislation will not follow through, it's also always a good thing to add motivation as to why you want a non-compete in an employment agreement.
Thank you. And you, Philip, what should employers in Luxembourg be thinking about?
Well, I guess that they should be aware that the authorities will now carry out a few more controls related to the new pieces of legislation which entered into force. So being connected to the right to disconnect or the fight against bullying or the protection of whistleblowers. So the authorities will verify whether employers have policies in place, whether they actually implement and live also by the rules that they define. So I think it will be very important for employers to make sure that they are compliant with pieces of legislation which entered into force over the course of last year. But also to put into place monitoring systems to make sure that they can anticipate the new pieces of legislation and that they are well prepared to do so, that they can also prepare already the discussions with their staff delegations and also connect with their favorite employment lawyer to prepare this.
Very good recommendation. Well, as for Belgium, I would say employers can definitely start working on pay transparency. So as you know, the directive on pay transparency had to be adopted or had to be transposed rather. Member states still have until 2026 to do so, but employers can already start preparing for this implementation. For instance, a notable new aspect implemented by the directive is the employer's obligation to inform job applicants of the starting salary and the pay range of the position in question. And once then the employees are on board, they will be able to make requests regarding specific salary information. For instance, they can ask for their pay range, the average pay range for categories of peers doing similar work, and that broken down by gender. So companies will also no longer be allowed to ask job applicants about their previous salary. All of that, I think, is to be expected in the coming years. But given the habits of certain employers, especially in Belgium, for instance, when it comes to asking about previous salary, I think it's a good thing to already start thinking about that, adopt HR processes, and make sure that whenever this legislation comes in, employers are prepared. So that was it. I think we've discussed a lot for Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And what always surprises me is that we are so close, I mean, geographically speaking, but also when it comes to content. We are no strangers, that's clear. Alex and Philippe, this has been a very interesting discussion and especially helpful for employers in the Benelux. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Katrin. Thank you for having us. Thank you, Alex, for the nice chat.
Likewise.
If you would like to connect with Alex, Philippe, or myself, please click on our bios in the description of this podcast. We also encourage you to reach out to any of our lawyers around the world by selecting Find a Lawyer on the ELA website at ela.law or download our app by searching Employment Law Alliance in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Additionally, check out training.ela.law to access our training portal, featuring online harassment prevention programs and much more. Information about all the programs available in the Year in Review series and other resources are available on the event landing page at ela.law. You've been listening to the Employment Law Year in Review Regional Roundtable, a series brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I'm Kato Arts. Thanks for listening.